is Movies, the Shia LaBeouf podcast. This is episode 23 of the Even Stevens movie from 2003. This was screened at 10:20 a.m. on the final day of Shia's marathon. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And I think you had told me a while ago, I don't remember if it was on mic or off mic, but you'd never seen, or you didn't even know about the show Even Stevens, right?
Correct. Yeah, I had no clue that Shia came from the Disney Channel and had a sitcom and the whole nine yards before. This was a total surprise to me.
I'm several years younger than you. I remember watching, so this show was on for 3 years, and I remember watching a lot of it. I don't know if I've seen every episode. I would say I've seen most of it. But I also have a sister who's 3 years younger, and so she would have been between the ages of, like, 9 and 11 when this was on, and I would have been 12 or 13 to, like, 15 or 16. So I think that I was, like, just sort of too old by the end of it, but I think she was still in that age, and, like, this is also the time on Disney Channel. I think it was this and Lizzie McGuire with Hilary Duff. I think they were both on at the same time. I don't remember that, but I remember this. I remember Even Stevens being really funny, and it's obviously made for kids, but it's also, it's not, like, adult, but, like, it's not childish. Like, it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, there are things that are childish, but it also works to, like, an older, like, a slightly older demographic.
Yeah, it definitely appeals to the adults, you know, watching this show with their kids, but it doesn't do it in any kind of vulgar manner, and it's not really trying to hide any of the adult humor either. I don't know. Not to tip my hat too much, but I actually was surprised by this film and by the family and the characters, and I actually quite enjoyed this. Yeah, I was too old to watch the show. I might actually go back and watch it, though, because the dynamic here is better than the stuff I feel like I got growing up. Like, I watched a lot of Growing Pains and Full House, and Boy Meets World is pretty much where I tapped out of these types of shows.
Gotcha.
And stuff, right? So I had just missed this mark. I'm intrigued as to where this came from. It made me wonder about the show itself because I enjoyed the movie.
There are some sort of silly, stupid, childish things here that don't really play well to people our age, or maybe just the fact that it's 2016, but it's more silly than sappy, like Boy Meets World. Like, I'm pretty sure I've seen every episode of Boy Meets World, and so, you know, at least once. Same thing with Full House, but, like, those feel like the show is where there's, like, a message. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I'm sure the show maybe had messages, but it's also, like, Lewis is just, like, up to wacky antics, and, like, let's just see what he does.
Yeah, yeah, the overall vibe just felt to be more about having fun and being positive. Yeah, I didn't really get the sense that this show would delve too deep into, you know, drugs and alcohol and stuff like that, whereas the shows I got growing up, once a month or at least once every few episodes, it would get a little dark or serious and stuff. But this is silly and dumb, and yeah, it still has to appeal to the
right
main demographic, you know what I'm saying? But still, like, it didn't turn me off in any way, you know? This is as far as you could get from something like Dumb and Dumberer, right?
Yeah.
Like, like, this is how you do children's comedy correctly.
And it's really, really, really easy to tell why Shia LaBeouf became, like, a superstar. Maybe not superstar, but, like, a huge star based on this, because not only is he first billed, I mean, he's the youngest son in a family, and he's top billed in this movie, which is crazy, kind of. Like, he's the best part of the show, he's the funniest person on there, he's younger than everybody else, and still, like, doing a great job. I mean, anybody watching him at this time could say, oh, if that kid, like, doesn't screw up his life, like, he's gonna be huge someday.
Yeah, yeah, I really liked him in this movie. He really got a chance to do his stuff, so to speak. I mean, I saw shades of Sam Witwicky here for sure, you know, like, coming, they're going to be coming down the pike. His chemistry with the girl who plays his sister is awesome. Like, I mean, it felt like me and my sister, kind of. And this, the whole family dynamic kind of reminded me a little bit of me and my brothers and sisters, and how we get on each other's nerves, but yet at the end of the day, we stuck together and had each other's back and stuff. But what struck me the most watching this is I really feel like we were robbed of a period of what could have been for Shia. Like, he'll go from stuff like this, starring in a movie like this, you know, I really feel like he should have gone on and made stuff like Valley Girl or The Night Before, like Cage and Keanu sort of go on these little runs of starring in not extremely successful, but teenage films.
Yep.
And he's kind of going to not get that chance. They're going to put him on the fast track and stick him in small roles in these really big movies. And it's just kind of a shame. This is what I wish we had a little more of, you know, in the last few episodes. But we're getting it lots here, and I'm loving it.
I also wonder, though, if maybe it was Shia's decision to skip that, because When this movie comes out, he's like 17. I don't know how old he's supposed to be in this, but his sister is graduating what is almost assuredly a high school graduation, but no, she's entering high school. So yeah. I don't know if that's like her 8th grade graduation or if high school's less than 4 years. When this movie came out, Christy Carlson Romano was 19 years old, and she's entering high school. The older brother, who had just graduated high school and is going off to college, is 26 or 27
yeah.
in real life. So everybody is sort of developmentally stunted in terms of not being able to portray the age that they're supposed to be. I mean, like, yeah. once they're on the island in the middle of this movie, they're sort of not in the confines of high school. And that's something that, you know, on Keanu Club, I hated that Keanu was always in high school. Like, if you're a high school student that has nothing to do with high school, that's fine. Like, I'm okay, because that's sort of like an age group. Like, that's what we have here. But I wonder if, you know, 3 years of playing sort of like an elementary to middle school kid at the ages of like 15, 16, 17, Shia was like, okay, like, I'm tired of being like this young kid. I want to be a man. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if it's his decision to sort of fast track himself and tell his agent, like, I don't want to be the star in things yet. I'm okay being like Will Smith's sidekick or Keanu's sidekick or something.
Yeah, and I think that's an opportunity you have to take advantage of also if it presents itself. It just feels like, you know, career fast track, of course. Yeah, I'd much rather get there quicker than going through all these little movies and whatnot on the side. I'm not saying it was the wrong choice. I'm just saying, like, I envision this parallel world.
Oh, no, I agree.
I wish
that,
I could visit.
Great.
I have a quick question for you about this movie, because you brought up an issue that, surprisingly, I only thought about for the first 5 minutes and then didn't even think about it at all. But when in the series does this take place? Is this after?
This is the finale.
So this is the final, considered the yeah. final episode of the show.
I never saw this, which makes me think that I never saw the end of the series.
Okay.
Because this sort of wraps up a lot of storylines. Like, apparently, in a weird coincidence for Shia's career, the Gil character, the older sister's boyfriend, who dumps her in a pancake house, was introduced on an episode called Surf's Up, which is kind of cool,
hey.
Kind of weird and coincidental.
And we get Shia on a surfboard in this.
We get Shia on a surfboard with a little bit of help. It apparently wraps up several stories that had been going on through the series. I don't know, like, I can't imagine it was canceled. I don't know what it was, but it was ended. They did 60 episodes or something like that, and then this is the final chapter in the Even Stevens universe.
Okay, because I think I have like a crazy little theory about maybe why the show ended, and it could be because it seems like maybe this happened during the final season, but everyone kind of went through their growth spurt. Like, I noticed, like, this Shia is a little taller than I was expecting. I thought he'd be closer to his friend Bean, you know? That kid looks like the appropriate age, for sure. I mean, I remember saying in the last episode, it's that same Shia voice, you know, did he go through early puberty? And I think this may have been the time around there. If you go look at some of the Even Stevens show and then check out the movie, I wonder if you can chart, you know, sort of how Scott Baio came back one season as Chachi and he was, you know, taller than Henry Winkler. It was just like, oh, okay, he shot up and he went through puberty. So I wonder if maybe they just were like, it's time to move on and everyone's just getting too old to play their role and we can't do this like the Simpsons can do this, where they're eternally young because they're cartoons and stuff. Surprisingly, a lot of that stuff just didn't bother me. I was getting into the movie. But one thing I wish I did know a little more about were the sort of side characters. I did kind of feel like they did a good job of not making it so much about that in a way, but you could still tell that there are these nods to the show, or we're referencing the show, just so that it's not entirely separate, that we don't just have the characters of the family on the island for the whole movie, but that it actually feels like an actual episode of the show. So I thought they did a good job of balancing that for new viewers. Yeah,
right.
I got a good sense of who these people probably were during the show, and none of it came across as confusing.
It's weird thinking back, like, I remembered Beans. Like, I would never have been able to tell you anything about the show other than I remember Shia and I remember Christy Carlson Romano because I thought she was cute. So those are, like, that's all I remembered about the show. Like, I remember that they had parents. I forgot that they had an older brother. I forgot that he had a sidekick, but as soon as Beans showed up, I was just like, oh, right, like, I remember that kid. Like, he's definitely, like, I don't want to say, like, an iconic character, but he is a weird, delightful little sidekick. I didn't remember any of Shia's friends. Apparently, that girl, I was doing a little bit of research, in the show becomes Lewis's girlfriend, which we don't get that vibe at all here in the movie. Like, she just sort of seems, like, kind of disinterested in him, which is sort of weird. Like, I don't know if they broke up or if Wiki was wrong or whatever. It's sort of like the finale of Lost, which I also want to talk about. Like, this, it's amazing to me how much this movie has in common with Lost.
Yeah, and Survivor, right?
Well, yeah, and Survivor. But the finale of Lost, which was like, you know, 2.5 hours or whatever, I was like, all I want to do is see Rose and Bernard and Vincent. And like, we see them for that one scene.
Right.
They have a life in the jungle. That's it. And so it sort of feels like that, like, you know, you like these characters throughout the show. We're going to show that we didn't forget about them. We're going to send, give them, like, one sort of, not like a heroic send-off, but, like, we're going to say, like, you know, their story is concluded, and here they are for you.
Yeah, they all have their moments. It's organic how they're worked into the film, and we didn't really mention the plot at all, but what happens, but the family has sort of chosen to test out a resort in some island somewhere, and they go along with it. We'll talk about that in a second, but they're actually being televised for, like, a family prank show. They work all the other characters in because they're watching the show, and I thought that was really... you know, natural, right? It's not like they forced everybody into the movie that didn't need to be there. It was like, oh, here's an opportunity to show her watching it, or here's an opportunity just to bring some random character back and have them watching it, or the principal, and things like that. So that worked out really well for them.
I think so, too. Yeah, so the plot of the movie is, it's graduation day, it's the first day of summer, basically. Shia causes a scene at his older sister's graduation. All he wants to do all summer is lounge around in his lounge-matic chair.
Which
He's
is
got
awesome.
This, like, crazy chair that his friends are all jealous of.
That's the kind of stuff I was expecting the Prince of Pennsylvania to be mocking up in his crazy garage, you know?
Yeah.
We talked about how he was supposed to be some tinkerer or something, and here I was like, right, wow. We see Shia with the remote control beach ball full of spaghetti, and then we see right away this crazy lounge chair that he made.
And that scene, I blurt laughed a couple times. Like, it was way funnier than I thought it was going to be. Like, I was expecting to enjoy it because I remember, like, Shia's the star. And whenever he's given anything to do, even if it's, like, not great material, he makes the most of it. Sort of like Cage. I knew that I was going to enjoy the time, most of the movie, but I didn't expect to actually, like, laugh out loud. And, like, there were a couple times in that scene, like, I think that's, like, the best scene in the movie, just because, like, he's so nerdy and cool at the same time, and, like, he just owns it. And that's exactly, I think, what we've talked about, that he's, like, he doesn't necessarily have, like, the movie star looks, but yet he's still a movie star. Like, he's that kind of uncool, cool guy, which makes him kind of relatable and likable by everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. That scene was great. And you're right, like, he almost, not really a Ferris Bueller vibe to him, because he's a little nerdier than that, but definitely, like, confident and secure and within himself and stuff. So I like that too. Like, he's showing off to his friends, like, this crazy chair that he made. I also like, this is something that I wasn't expecting at all, but, like, I mean, this is when I noticed that the movie itself, like, the filmmakers are kind of crafty filmmakers. I mean, they probably had no budget for this whatsoever, but there's a moment when he's sitting in the chair and, you know, it's got, like, you push a button and an arm comes down and,
oh,
like,
yep,
your
yep,
back,
I know what you're talking about. Yep.
Right? And one gives you a hot dog. And then one arm comes in from out of frame that it just is physically impossible to, you know, and, like, that's...
with the mustard.
Yeah, the mustard. And, like, that's the joke. The joke is, like, you know, wacky filmmaking techniques and stuff like that. I was like, oh, that's clever. But I didn't expect it to go on. I don't know if it was intentional, but when they go to the island, there's, like, stock footage of, you know, like, the island from Jurassic Park and all that kind of stuff. And then sometimes there's just a shot of them, which might clearly be green screen, just walking in front of the stock images and stuff. So, like, I don't know if that was part of the in-joke or if it's just, you know, they needed to get around the budget somehow. But I really feel like the actual filmmaking made me laugh in the right ways. You know, like, there was, like, a wink and a nod in the crafting of this movie, too.
It's definitely... I don't remember if it was meta. I don't know... I honestly don't know if I would have realized that when I was watching this at, like, 15 years... You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's something... Like, obviously, like, Community... Like, if it's like, Community, then I would be willing to go back and watch this all just because, obviously, Shia's in it, but...
I feel like it wasn't as overt as, say, Abed doing, you know, clearly commenting, but it just feels like everybody had the spirit that they knew what they were doing. I don't know. Something just came across, like, they knew you're watching this and they're like, oh, check this out, check that. I mean, because there's some pretty bad CGI in this, but it doesn't matter because it just feels like part of the gag, you know? Everything just feels like it's done in fun.
So I looked up who made this movie, and like the writers and the director, and it's all people who mostly just did kids stuff. So it's not like this was a departure where they're like, hey, let's sort of like adult up a kids movie. Like, this is sort of in their wheelhouse. So I don't know if this was sort of more of an adult property that they could sort of like, it's a slightly older demographic that they could have a little bit more fun with. I don't know, but it's not like this guy has been doing like all sorts of weird stuff and then like David Lynch goes and makes The Straight Story, which is like a G-rated Disney thing about a guy riding his lawnmower. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like that kind of situation. So I don't know. I don't know if they have experience outside of the kids realm that they wanted to bring in here and just sort of say, hey, like, we might be making a kids movie, but we can sort of make it our way, or if this was just genuinely like what the show was like from start to finish. I don't remember.
Okay.
Oh, this is a show, so before we really get into the movie, this is a show that still airs on TV, apparently. It airs on Freeform for 2 hours after midnight on Wednesday nights. And the movie still airs on the Disney Channel and Teen Nick. And back in 2007, so this movie was in 2003, and the show was on from 2001 to 2003. In July 2007, Disney Channel aired 8 episodes as part of their Sometimes You Win, Sometimes You Lewis. So as Transformers was coming out, they brought this back. So I think it's something, I really wonder, I'm going to look up that Vulture article now of how Shire reacted to all his movies. So I can't imagine he has like bad memories about this. I think it feels like, especially in the outtakes at the end, like it seems like everybody's enjoying themselves. And I know that's sort of the point of outtakes, like, hey, look how much fun everybody's having. But like, it seems like they genuinely enjoy each other's company.
I think I remember hearing that this was pretty well received at his marathon, that he was actually enjoying this. And I think I can understand why. Is because he can look at himself back when he was pure and stuff almost, or like back when he was more innocent, and there is that just innocence to this entire film too, you know. It never gets deep or heavy and anything like that. I mean, the basic message is like, don't pull pranks on people. Pranks aren't funny to the person they're being pulled on. So I wonder if it's just, you know, it was just a fondness for that time in his life, and you know, there were good memories then, as opposed to getting taken out of Cabaret drunk or something, you know, like whatever movie he was making during that time, I don't imagine he looks back on so fondly.
So the Vulture article for the Even Stevens movie says, like all of us, LaBeouf loves the Even Stevens movie, and they have him pointing at the screen and laughing. Okay. And the tweet is, watching Shia laugh hysterically at the Even Stevens movie. And then there's another tweet that says, Shia and the audience enjoying the ending of the Even Stevens movie is actually a pretty special thing to watch. It turned him into a star. Like, there's things that we're going to watch from here on out. We've got at least one more. The next movie that we're doing, Holes, is maybe his other sort of real breakout thing. And I'm guessing he got that because of this. Those two things together, like, they made him who he is. So I'm glad that he's able to look back fondly.
Yeah, and I think Holes was a big children's book, too, at one point.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're probably looking to cast that through, like, Nickelodeon or Disney and or those types of children to get that kind of face to it and stuff. So, yeah, I feel like he's, like, one of the quintessential Disney kids. Like, he's just got a really great all-in attitude about him. Or maybe it's just his character, but he plays that really well. Like, he's just fully committed. I really like his castaway look in this. Like, you know, when they're on the island for, I think, just, like, one day without any shelter, and he wakes up and his pants are shredded and everything, and he's got, like, dirt on his face, and he's really owning up to the, like, we're starving and all I have is a peanut to eat. Let's split up three ways. Like, there's just, like, such a charm about him in this. I almost feel like he could have been the lead in iRobot, maybe, if it was supposed to be about a more happy guy or something. I just feel like he has the gravitas or the weight or whatever already, even if he doesn't realize it, to carry pictures and stuff.
He's really, really good. I just remembered, and it's not about this movie, but today is an important day, December 2nd, the day this comes out, because in theory, according to IMDb, as we record this a month in advance, Shia's movie Man Down comes out today somehow, either in theaters or VOD or something. The movie that we should have started this marathon with, as we're wrapping up, as we're nearing the ending of this, may finally be in theaters or on demand or something. In which case, it'll kind of be like a nice little, you know, just as Shia, watching the Even Stevens movie, saw the beginning of his career, we can watch Man Down at the end, which we should have watched at the beginning, and sort of see, like, this complete cycle of where he came from and what he became. I just want to throw that out there. I wanted to mention that, like, we know that it might have a release date, which was crazy, because As we talked about for the first episode, we didn't start recording this months ago because we were waiting for this movie to come out, and then there was nothing about it. And then, of course, as we, you know, get into the heart of this, and as we're about to release this, you know, as we're recording in 9 days, hey, like, it might actually finally happen. So I think I would like to thank ourselves for willing the universe into giving Man Down a release date.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's over a year to the day that he watched it. That's what's crazy, too. I don't wonder how he got a copy. And well, I mean, he's Shia LaBeouf. He's in the movie. I know how we got a print of it, but I'm really looking forward to that coming out and then get that in. Because one thing that I wanted to bring up is, like, going backwards in someone's career like this. It's more jarring than I was expecting. Like, you're doing it over on the Zephcast, which I've taken to call it, but okay. The Zack Attack. We're never going to be better than this. Like, you guys are going backwards in his career with that. Yep. So you've got a little more, like, handle on what it's all about, but I'm starting to, like, trip over myself at times. Like, I think you maybe could hear it in the last couple episodes, too. It's just a strange sensation to watch someone age backwards, like Benjamin Button style like this. And also to get to this point and see, like, he already knew who he was gonna be in a way, you know, like, his personality hasn't shifted very much on screen, or his persona. I mean, it's mostly just like his private life and his actual personality, or whatever you want to say, like, his actual image has been what's undergone, like, the transformation. But I kind of feel like he's been really consistent on screen with, like, his choices and his range and stuff like that. And if anything, the earlier stuff we watched, which comes later in his career, is just a testament to that's when he will stretch and sort of start to spread more, when we get to Charlie Countryman and things like that. But I really feel like what he's setting up in this Even Stevens stuff, he'll carry it through, like, to the end of those Transformer movies, sort of through his blockbuster phase. And then when he gets to, like, those indie stuff, that's when he's really going to go method and branch out and, you know, cry on cue in every scene if he needs to convincingly.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I'm really glad that, you know, we've had some stinkers. We've had Dumb and Dumberer, and we've had Charlie's Angels, and, like, he's fine in those movies, but the movies around them are bad. But I'm glad to see that he's always been good. You know, like you said, he's always been consistent. He's always sort of knows what he's wanted to be or what he'll become. I mean, we've got some stuff that he's going to be, like, real, real young in coming up. I'm sort of curious to see that. He's now younger in this, I think, than Cage or Keanu was in anything we saw.
Oh, this is younger than Best of Times?
I think so. It's about... Wow. Well, they're about the same age. Like, that came out.
Cage looks like 10 years older in Best of Times than Shia does in Even Stevens movie.
Well, I mean, Cage was like a fully formed man. Like, we've talked about that. Like, he's sort of like LeBron James of acting. Like, he just came out, like, ready to compete. I mean, Shia's never going to be big, even though he's gotten big. He's never going to have the build that Cage did early on. But here, he's just like, he might have hit his growth spurt. He's not tall. He's not, like, no. A big guy yet.
No, I even think Megan Fox is going to tower over him down the line as well. Yeah. But it's cool because we haven't tackled a child actor before. So I'm definitely going to go check out a couple of the Even Stevens shows because I want to see young Shia and, you know, all that. I don't think I'll get enough of him in the next two or three things we do. I don't know how much he's in them. I mean, I know Holes, but I've seen Holes, actually. And he looks closer to this. I didn't know who he was when I first saw that movie. So I look forward to checking it out again. Further and further back, it's cool to know that he was acting when he was even younger and younger and younger. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. Like, that I look forward to kind of checking out and seeing if there's any gleam in that eye as to what's what's going to transpire down the line.
So before we go, and there might be other things we want to talk about, but I do want to talk about the similarities to Lost and to reality, so I mean, and okay. Reality shows. So the reality shows are more overt. Like, we have the behind the scenes. It's kind of like Unreal, which is on Lifetime, which is very, very good if you haven't seen Unreal. We see Tim Meadows as the host and seemingly producer of the show. Like, everything about, like, the production of the actual show within the movie is almost completely unbelievable. Like, the fact that they're broadcasting live in the middle of the day to an audience that gets, like, 25 million votes in a matter of seconds on whether or not Sister should kiss the guy or not. Like, everything about it is just, like, an idealized version of, like, things that would never happen. And then for, like, the last minute, like, genuinely, like, a twist that kind of surprised me, even though I figured Dave Coulier would show up again, but for the other show to be able to come in and broadcast also live at the same time, like, the smallest, most standard camera imaginable and, like, no other equipment, like, any of that is just like, oh, I don't, that's, like, if you think about it at all, just like, oh, none of that is even remotely possible. But it is cool to sort of see the behind the scenes production teams kind of like pulling the strings, like the camera crews out in the wild and like setting up the squirrel or dropping the food crates and whatever. It's cool to see the behind the scenes production values of the reality show that we never really see. Like, there's not like the host talking to camera in front of the family, which you'd almost kind of expect. Like, this is all like the hidden camera prank show, which is also the meanest show in the history of anything.
Yeah, you know, that kind of stuff didn't really bother me, even though it was nagging at me from time to time. Like, as soon as I was like, where are all the cameras? They start showing stuff like rock cam and surf cam, or they just sort of like, oh, the cameras have always been there. They've just been hidden. You've never been able to see them. I was sort of like, well, if I'm going to argue semantics with this, it's like watching Westworld. It's like, you know, if you can't just accept that the hosts aren't killed by getting shot, then you're not going to enjoy the show. If you can't figure out why, or, you know, it's just, it doesn't matter. Like, I was like, I can't get bogged down in that kind of stuff. Like, the movie already
didn't bother me, but it's also funny to see, like, just insanely unrealistic it is.
Oh, well, I mean, like, at the end, Dave Coulier's cameraman, his camera is not even plugged into anything, like a cord, a wire. I mean, like, no, there's just, this is just all about ideas and low budget execution. It's funny, though. I liked it. There was definitely a thing in the beginning, too, when he shows up at the house. First of all, the mom is a state senator, and the dad is like this high profile attorney who happens to be out of work, but they just signed this contract without even reading it. And at that point, I was like, all right, I'm on board for whatever the hell they're going to throw at me. If the dad is a lawyer and he just signs his life away, like, right away, I just thought that was great.
Well, I feel like they're TV characters in kind of the best way for the plot, in that just, like, things are going to happen and just, like, all right, we're okay with it. Like, Beans comes over for the afternoon, but instead he's going to be there for 3 weeks while his parents are in Helsinki. They kind of freak out, but they're like, I guess this is life now. Like, this is just, like, what life's dealt us. Like, we got to deal with Beans for 2 weeks, three tops.
Yeah. I mean, I like that about it, too. It's just funny to me that way. I mean, it might not be everybody's sense of humor, but it really hit my funny bone in the right direction watching this for some reason. And, like, reasons like that. Like, they totally know, like, okay, we need Beans. We need a joke about him being stuck with the family that we can just completely drop for the rest of the movie. So it doesn't matter what it is. What's important about that is that scene is that Beans packs his own bacon when he goes and stays over at people's houses. You know, like, that's all that really matters.
The other thing that I wanted to talk about was how similar this is in a lot of ways to Lost. And, like, a couple times I was like, oh, like, that's just like a reference to Lost. And then I realized this came out like a year and a half before Lost was on the air, which bananas to me. But the fact that they find the video wire in the sand, I'm like,
yes,
follow that to Russo. Like, just go do that. There's shots of the island that look like, you know, the stock photos that you were talking about before that look like the Lost Island.
Yeah, because it is the Lost Island. Like, I literally, they just took stock video.
Yeah, like the jungle, like, there's all sorts of jungle stuff. There's native things. There's people having to survive on the beach. And, like, crazy, like, an island full of, like, mysteries and, like, tricks and, like...
You know what really got me was there's a food drop at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that maybe definitely shout out Lost.
I don't think we mentioned that Tim Meadows is the host.
He's sort of like the Michael from Lost, I guess, if you like.
I feel like he's kind of like the Ben, the lineup.
Yeah, he is more pulling the strings.
Everything's fine. Like, no, there's nothing weird going on here. Like, everything is totally fine. Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, he's the liar.
I feel like there's other stuff.
Well, they have, like, the family gets, like, split into two groups, and they are all, like, betrayal and duplicitous towards each other. I definitely feel the vibes now that you're bringing it up. Oh, and there's some, like, crazy statues and stuff that reminded me of the big statue that they eventually get to.
That's true.
The Anubis statue.
I think that's maybe all I had about Lost. I feel like there's more.
At one point, Tim Meadows says something like, or Beans goes up to him and he's like, where are you going to sleep? And he's like, oh, they provide me a small cabin in the middle of the woods or something, or a shack. And I was like, oh, it's like Jacob's cabin or something.
That's true. Or just like the hatch. Like, it comfortably sleeps one. The other thing that was sort of like a little shout out to a future moment is at the very end, Dave Coulier's cameraman shows up and he's filming around. And they show Lewis and Ren hugging, like, their friends again. Their brother and sister are on good terms. He, like, hikes up his leg. I'm like, he's doing the Angelina Jolie thing. I mean, I know that a lot of people did that, but, like, you know, the Angelina Jolie leg from that thing that Jim Rash did at the Oscars where he, like, hiked up his leg or what, you know what I mean? Like, he was doing that exact thing, like, years before it happened. So it's weird to see these things after the fact that became kind of cultural touchstones years after this happened.
Yeah, I thought he was just doing the old thing of, like, when you hitchhike and you stick your leg out, you know, they used to, if you were a girl, like, you'd stick your leg out or something in a hitchhike, and that would get you picked up quicker back when hitchhiking was safe. I love at the end when he's having that heart-to-heart with his sister, the sexy guy comes up that she falls for, and they fall for each other, and he goes, handle your business, and just sort of does, like, a backflip off of the railing or something, just, like, vanishes out of the film. Like, that was hilarious. And then at the end, when they're playing the music, he's on drums, and it really looks like he's knows how to, if he's drumming to a backing track, probably, but it looks like he knows how to drum. That's the first I ever heard of that. I think him and Keanu ought to get together and start a band or something.
I wonder if they talked about music while on the set of Constantine. Probably not, but maybe.
The one other note I had, and I don't know if you picked up on this, but that guy at the beach, Frosted Tips, the guy that Ren is set up with.
Oh, yeah, Mutai or whatever?
Yeah, I think his real name was Jason or something. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you got this from him. I called him not Franco this entire movie because he looked like he could be related to the Francos.
He did, you're right. I didn't think about that while watching, but you're right.
I almost thought, like, maybe he's a Franco or something, or it should have been one of them.
What's weird about this show, and I don't know if it's just because I watched, like, a lot of Disney Channel shows around this time, but, like, everybody seems like I've seen them in a lot of things, and I don't think I have. Like, everybody just seems familiar. Like, he looks like a Franco. Like, other people look like I've seen them in things. I don't think I have, because I looked at a couple of people's IMDb's, and it's mostly things that, you know, a lot of people have gone on to do a lot of work, but, like, stuff I haven't seen.
Yeah, aside from Dave Coulier, the only ones I recognized, I think I recognized the guy that dumps Ren at the pancake place or wherever. I think I recognized him from somewhere, but I couldn't tell you exactly where. I think there's one other person in there that my mind, I can't exactly put my finger on, but yeah, for the most part, I was pretty surprised that it's, I don't know, it just kind of seemed to me maybe this is just the Disney cast, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are just Disney Channel regulars, and so they're going to take people from other Disney shows if they need anybody, or they'll just, if they have a big role, they'll just get a Tim Meadows or something like that. What really would have been funny, knowing that Ryan Gosling was in the Mickey Mouse Club and stuff, is if they had brought him in or someone like a heavy hitter from the past or something like that, just to, like, once you're in Disney, you know, you're always in Disney, so who knows? Maybe Shia and Gosling will do a movie together and they can reminisce about the Big Mouse.
The only thing I have in a related note is there's another pre-union of sorts in this, is that the guy who plays the dad in the family will be a NASA tech in 1969 in the third Transformers movie.
Oh,
so he's
my
not
God.
In the same era as Shia, but he's in the same movie. So it's not really like a, like, they never really reunite on screen, but they're in the same movie or the same thing 8 years later.
What was really kind of killing me is that the kid who plays Beans, because, like, there's just something about him, like, I don't know, there's just something really unique. He's a really interesting looking kid, you know, and I really felt like I've seen him in a lot of stuff, but didn't. The only thing that really came to mind is he was in a Will Ferrell soccer movie. I don't know if you remember, he was
Kicking and Screaming.
Yeah, Kicking and Screaming. But I couldn't believe that's the only thing that I could peg him in, because he just seems like I've seen that guy everywhere, and lately too, but no, I, like, nothing else came to mind. But that kid was great. Like, I don't know what he's doing now, but he should, like, get in with, like, the Comedy Bang Bang crew or something, because he's got just, like, a great vibe about him.
He could be a slow Joey sidekick or something.
Yeah, Haley Joel Osment. Oh, Haley Club.
Haley Club. Oh, no, thank you.
Never. pay that forward.
All right, not even going to ask about anything else, because that is the perfect line to end on. So for all things, all his movies, you can go to cageclub.me or facebook.com/cageclub. We've got 6 episodes left, maybe a 7th if we can get our hands on Man Down. But we are wrapping up. We're in less than a week, this will be over. So I hope you like it. We're officially into December. We're into December as of yesterday, so we've got lots of content for you to listen to. There's a new Now and Again out, which I think might have Mike on it. Cage Club, Keanu Club, Monkey Club, Zack Attack, all sorts of fun things. Cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And we'll see you next time on All His Movies. I got an ill-